This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, so shortish class because Maghrib is early. I think from next week we'll probably continue after Maghrib. So that's fine. So it's a bit of a short class up until Maghrib. So last week we were talking about the campaigns of Khalid Walid radiallahu anhu into Persia. So there's two wars happening at the same time. There is a western frontier, which is really the major frontier into Syria, Palestine. That is, we're parking that for now. So there's action happening there. We'll talk about that inshallah in weeks to come. The eastern side is where we focused on. And Khalid's objective was to capture Hira, which is the capital of Iraq. Iraq, it's an Arab country, but under the rule of the Persians in Iran. The Persians in Iran, they're ruling this Arab region. So Khalid, we said, entered from the south. He meets Hormuz. He was a very prominent man in the Persian court. He ruled the southern area of Iraq. So Iraq is the north of Saudi, so that area. And we said how he basically got Hormuz to move from left and right, and his army kept chasing Khalid until his army was completely exhausted, and so Khalid radiallahu anhu and the Muslims had a massive victory and defeated this man. Then they moved on, and the Persian army was, most of the army managed to escape, and then there was this battle at the river, the battle of the river, we said, where they had their backs faced to the river. They said Khalid's strategy is always come from the side and attack you, so if we block them off from the river, then they can't defeat us. But then he was able to push them into the river, and many of them drowned, and many of them, but again, a lot of them escaped. Every time Khalid radiallahu anhu, the Muslims of the army, the Muslims are able to defeat the Persians, the armies, the bulk of it, manages to escape and regroup. And Khalid, as we said, his predicament was, we could manage to push them, win many battles, but we can't keep fighting like this. Our resources are limited, our men are limited, the Persians have a massive, you know, the quantity is huge. Also, interestingly, we said, we have the first, was the Battle of the Chains. That's the first one, it's called the Chains, where they were tied up. The second one is the Battle of the River. And the leader of the Battle of the River, Bahman, he actually survived the battle and he went to Ctesiphon, the capital of Persia. Now, he's the overall general in command of the Persian army. He's the commander-in-chief. And his job is now to safeguard this. So he sent two armies at the same time. From Persia, he sent one army, and then a few days later, he sent a second army. Both these armies are huge in number, maybe 10 times the size of Khalid's army. And their objective was, so obviously raising an army takes a while. He managed to raise one army, and he sent that through, and then he's busy raising a second army. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, and this all happens within a matter of weeks, we're not talking months are going by. The army of Khalid radiallahu anhu enters Iraq around March, end of Feb, within April, he's now moving forward. So it's May already, and the first army arrives. And soon he gets to know that the second army is on its way. Either he waits, and these two armies join, and it's a majorly big army, or he needs to move on quickly and fight again. So no time really to rest and recover to wage a war. So the objective of this next battle, so we had the Battle of the Chains, the Battle of the River. The next one is called the Battle of Walaja, the Battle of Walaja. And here he understood the objective of this battle. I need to not only win, but I need to annihilate this army. I need to make sure that the bulk of this army does not survive and joins this next army that's coming. And so I think we ended off last week where we said he completely hid his cavalry in the desert and he allowed his center, so he allowed his troops to get pushed and pushed and pushed. And the army, the enemy army got to such a point where they actually thought they were going to overrun the Muslims when he signaled for his cavalry to come out. And we said in the history, there were only two battles in all of history that they say, two major battles. A very famous general called Hannibal. You know Hannibal Lecter, the cannibal, named after this man. There was a great general called Hannibal. And he almost invaded Rome. Side, we're digressing here. Many, many centuries ago, North Africa, Libya, basically where Libya is, there was a city called Carthage. And This army of Hannibal was so powerful that it marched all the way from North Africa into Spain, across Spain, and invaded Rome. Right? So this man, Hannibal, was a very dangerous man for the Romans. So he's like seen as a barbarian. And he managed to defeat one of his tactics, he completely surrounded you. So Khalid managed to do this tactic, completely surrounded the army of the imperial army of the Persians, and he completely annihilated them. Just as this army was defeated, the second army now arrives. And the fourth battle is called the Battle of Ulais. So we had Chains, River, Walaja, and the Battle of Ulais. We don't know, the books of history don't explain much in the Battle of Ulais. It's just an all-out fight for the death now. This is the last Persian army. Khalid, radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba, throw everything at it. And alhamdulillah, Khalid, they said, makes a great dua. And he says, Ya Allah, if we survive this battle, then, you know, this, they fought again on the banks of the river. He says, this river will turn into basically the blood of the enemies. And subhanAllah, you know, Khalid, through the grace of Allah, managed to defeat this army. So four spectacular victories within 2 months. That leaves Persia basically unguarded. And now the route to Hira. Remember that the objective was Hira. The route is open. And he gets to the city on the way around. As he gets to the city, the defenders don't have the governor of the city. He's not a very prominent man. He saw these armies falling one by one. He sends his son with a small detachment of troops to try and put up some resistance. They get swept aside very easily, and the governor abandons Hira, and they leave. So the Persians leave Hira, and they go back to Ctesiphon, the capital. As I said, Iraq is an Arab country, but they're being ruled by an elite class. Maybe like you would think, like the colonial times, you would have external people ruling the majority. So now these rulers are running back to the capital, and they're leaving the city basically unguarded. So Khalid radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba and the armies enter the city of Hira, which is perhaps the biggest city they've ever, up until this point, no city of this size has been captured. And even the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this city is one of the big cities of the world. I mean, if you think of like, you know, the New Yorks and Paris's, it's a massive city. It's a big city for them as Arabs. And they never saw wealth like this before. They never saw wealth of this magnitude in their life. And so when they get to the city of Hira, the majority of the people, they had surrendered. They said, look, we're not here. We don't want to fight. We will pay whatever jizya that you want. But there were certain fortresses in the city that remained hostile. And they tried to remain to fight it out. So there was a brief siege. And eventually these kings, these Arab kings, decided that, look, it's not going to work out. So they send an old man basically to negotiate with Khalid. And this old man, his name is Abdul Masih, the slave of the Messiah. Obviously they're Christian. So obviously this name is haram from our perspective. You can't be the slave of anyone besides the slave of Allah. Very, very old man. And he was a very famous man. He was known to be a scholar and known to be a well-known person. And he begins to speak to Khalid radiallahu anhu. And this dialogue is recorded in the books of history. And Khalid speaks to him, and he's wise and he's humorous. And Khalid can't understand what the man is saying. So he speaks in puns, he speaks in riddles. So like Khalid, for example, asks him, tell me about a time, like why do you look so sad, senior? What do you remember from all your age in history? So the man, like, because the man is very old. So he says, I remember a time when a woman walked from my city to Damascus with a loaf of bread. So Khalid's not understanding what he means, what this old man is saying, that I lived in a time when things were so peaceful, the Persian Empire was so strong, that there was so much law and order in here, but those days are over. And that basically this empire has now come to an end. And this man has a pouch with him. And you know, Khalid, as I said, before he gets to the pouch, Khalid now offers him the terms. He says, look, we're not coming here to kill anybody. We're not here to harm anyone. I give you the standard 3 choices. If you want to fight, we'll fight. Firstly, if you embrace Islam, then you are with us. Whatever we get, you get. Whatever we suffer, we suffer. We are in this together. If you don't want to accept Islam, your religion, your places of worship, your women, everyone is safe. You pay us a tax, a jizya, and you come under the protection of the Muslim state. And if you resist, then the standard line is, I will send you a group of people who love death as much as you love life, who chase after death as hard as you chase after life. So you choose. And this old man says, my people have no interest in fighting you, and we have no interest in your religion, so we'll pay you the jizya. And then Khalid asks him, what's this pouch you have here? So he says, this is poison in here. That if it turned out that you were a man that we couldn't negotiate, because everyone hears about this Khalid and Walid, this warlord, this rebel, that if you were a monster like people have said, then I would rather take this poison than see my city, you know, being brought to destruction. And Khalid says, we're not here for that basically. So now he says, okay, fine, what is the jizya? What do you want us to pay as taxes? So Khalid says there are three provisions that we want as jizya. Number one, this city must pay about 200,000 dirhams. Dirhams is not, a dinar is like a gold coin. It's basically 200,000 silver coins for the year. This is very little. Much, much less than the Persians were taking. They were surprised. Not so much. And we want one saddle. Because one of the soldiers said, I don't have a saddle. I lost my saddle during the battle. So we want one saddle from this army. And then this man, because he was very famous, he had a very famous daughter, which was very beautiful. And he said, look, your daughter is one of the, on the list, because one of the soldiers was promised this. Now this goes back. Now Allah Alam, this is in the books of history. I couldn't verify it in the hadith. One of the Sahaba, a very unknown man, Shuwail is his name. He was, according to the books of history, and said, Tabari, a side note, let me take a side note here. You have books of hadith. Hadith has been authentically checked. It's gone through, it's been verified, it's been audited. And that's why the tick is there. Sahih Bukhari. We know 100% Nabi Sun said this. Then to a degree, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, to a degree just below it. But it's still, you know, you can rely on this. We have Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, also authentic. Then you have lots of books of history where stories are in there and Allahu A'lam if they are authentic or not authentic. You know, we don't know how true it is. You find, for example, stories when the Prophet ﷺ was born, this happened and that happened. Who was there to see these things? But they are in the books of history. We don't know. Now you find this story in Tabari, where it mentions the Nabi ﷺ was explaining to the Sahaba, a time will come when we will get to Hira. We'll get to this great city, like Paris, we'll get there. Now the Sahaba knew and heard about this famous lady Karima of Hira. Very famous, beautiful, like, you know, the supermodel of her time. And this Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, if I get there, can I be of those? And he said, you will be of those who will be part of the army, Shuwail. And he said, then I get this lady Karima. So he said, so the Nabi says to him, you will get this lady Karima. So now when they were drawing up the terms, Khalid only said 200,000 dirhams. And then one Sahabi said, look, I need a saddle. So he said, okay, fine, we'll put this on the list also, we want a saddle. And then this man, Shuwail, said, the Prophet promised me I'll get this lady Karima. And Khalid said, look, it's quite strange, but I mean, you have witnesses, and apparently there were witnesses. So he says, khalas, if this was agreed, then you will get this lady Karima. So he puts this on the list. And so the women were crying that this Karima lady must now go to this Sahabi, and he's excited. This beautiful woman will be his. And we can talk about captives and slaves of war, inshallah, next week if we want to. And then this lady comes to him, and he realizes this lady is in her 80s. She is an old lady. She used to be this beauty queen. And he realized, Allahu Akbar, I've made a huge mistake. So he sees like this, the Sahabi is like shocked and he expected something else. So she said to him, what use do you have for an old lady? What do you want with me? So he says, okay, you know what? Let's make an agreement. I'll set you free, but there must be a price. He said, what price? So he says, okay, 1,000 dirhams. As we said, a dirham is a silver coin, like 1,000 rand. So she said, okay, fine. Like she was quite surprised and she paid it. And so when the Sahaba heard this man, he let her go for 1,000 dirhams, they laughed. They said, this lady is worth so much more. Why did you choose a number like that? So he says, I never knew that there's a number bigger than 1,000 dirhams. I never thought there was a number that big, bigger than that. Right? So this, it just shows you some of these Sahaba were very simple people and compared to the Persians, which were a cultured, civilized people. And they expected that the Muslims would come and plunder and take whatever they want and ran away. And now it was important, more important than conquering land, was how do you introduce Islam and how do you introduce governance. And so this army was very, very disciplined. And he ensured the Sahaba, as we said, that if you pay the jizya, which is even less than you were paying to the Persians, then you are safe. That if any person harms you, even if those who have conquered you now harms your people, then they would be punished. And of course, as is the rules, that whatever was taken as tribute, a portion of it goes back to the Baytul Mal, to Medina. And now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has become accustomed to receiving every week a letter that the army was victorious, and here are the spoils of war. And he mentions after this conquest, he says, I don't think a time will come where women will give birth to the likes of this man. Right? This Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. We won't see people like this. So now he's done his job. Within 3 months, mission accomplished. Conquered Hira. So what do I do next? So he gets the permission from Abu Bakr. You can go further northwards if you want. To the north, there were a few more cities. The next city on the list, and I mean, again, I should show you the map, inshallah, next week, is following the river all the way north. So this is the river. On the one side is Iran, right? The one side is Iran, where Ctesiphon is. The other side is still Iraq. He's Khalid radiallahu anhu is sticking to the Iraqi side, and he continues north along the river, and there's a city called Anbar. I think today there's still the city of Anbar. He gets to the city of Anbar, and for the first time they see a city, not just walls with walls, it has a moat. Do you know what's a moat? A moat is that, you know, in the fairy books, fairy tale, there's like this water thing, right? And you can't enter the castle. So now they've got this moat here. And the Sahaba are unable to cross over. And he sees the city, and these people are not really prepared for fighting. Right? There's no soldiers, and they're not prepared. But how do we get across the moat into the city? And so, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he has a very smart move. He looks at all the animals that are weak and dying. Yes, we have animal rights, but their purpose is also for jihad. So he says, bring me all the animals that we can't use anymore, that's basically meant to be slaughtered for eating. So they slaughtered them, and they threw them in the moat, and they created a bridge of camel carcasses, basically. And they shot the arrows up at the defenders, and so they were scaling the walls of the fortress, climbing up to the castle walls. And while they were doing this, again, the defenders realized that there's not much we can do. And so they surrendered the fortress, and again, not much fighting, and the castle of Anbar was surrendered. Moves on to the next city, Ain al-Tamur, right? So we're moving on from one city to the next. He moves to another city. And in this city, this was a unique city. So this city was a little stronger, and it had two rulers. It had a Persian ruler and an Arab king, an Arab kind of king. And so the Persian, who is always smarter, step ahead of the Arab, he starts praising this, the Persian is praising his co-pilot, you know, the Arab, and saying, you know what, clearly we've seen how Khalid has defeated one army after the next. Perhaps the only people that can fight with Arabs are Arabs. Yes, that's right. Only you guys know how to deal with your own people. We Persians are not equipped to fight your kind of people. So why don't you and your Arabs fight against Khalid? And if you are victorious, then we can see clearly you are the man. But if you are struggling, then we will come and we will support you. And so this Arab king buttered up, he feels good, and he goes out to this army, and he's there, and he wishes to meet Khalid radiallahu anhu in battle. His name is Akkar, or Akkar, right? So he comes out, and Khalid radiallahu anhu, now by now, Khalid's armies are veterans. They fought so many battles, they are experienced. These guys are not really a match, and he wants to end the battle very quickly. So he tells his army, let them attack us. The army is always stationed like this. You have a center and two wings. Let them attack us, and the wings will just keep them occupied. And so they're coming and they're attacking, and Khalid's army is not really engaging fully. It's not engaging fully. And then he takes a few of his elite soldiers, himself, Qaqa, some of the strong guys, and he charges in and he captures the general. Instead of fighting a battle, if we just capture the king, then this will be enough to scare them. Exactly what he did. He captured the general, and so the entire army flees and runs back. And then when they get back to the city, they find that the Persians have already left. The Persians have left. They've gone back to Ctesiphon, and they basically closed the doors, and all of them were captured. So now, Khalid radiallahu anhu had captured most of Iraq, and he was starting to really spend time to put together policies and put together systems in place. Not just conquering, but now it's time to rule. And this is a big difference. So I said, this is really the first time in our history that Islamic armies enter a foreign land. So all the history up to here, the Muslims in Medina being invaded by the Quraysh, defending, fighting against for survival. Now we're on the offensive. And it's important to see how you are as winners. This is really the test of the kind of religion that you have. How do you act when you are winning? To be humble in victory. So like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he conquered Mecca, he entered Mecca and his head was lowered so much that his beard was touching his camel. Just to come into the city without any pride. Not long after this, a few years after this, we'd see Sayyidina Umar entering Jerusalem the same way. Walk, he's not riding into the city as a conqueror. And this is important for us as Muslims. That we conquered these cities and we ensure that those people remain on their religion and they people were safe, their women were safe. So he's now organizing Iraq. And he even returns back to Hira. And the people of Hira, who just got conquered recently, they're actually singing for him. That, you know, he's our champion, he's our hero, that he liberated us from the Persians. The people of Iraq are beginning to see it's new management. And it's scary when new management walks in. But this new management is better than the old management. And Khalid writes a letter to the Persians. And he invites them to Islam. And he says, Allah sent us to sort of disrupt your plans and your empire. And then he says, but this is a blessing for you, because if Allah left you without us coming to call you, it would have been worse for you to meet Allah like that. This really, we've come not to harm you, but we're coming to bring you to something which is better. So take heed with this, and also the victories that you've seen is not from us, rather it is a sign that we've got the assistance of Allah. While he's there, while he's setting up his campaign, he gets a letter from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that a Muslim army that was sent is struggling. So another army of the Muslims had been sent to face with an enemy in Arabia. In Arabia. Again, these names are difficult. It's called Dawmatul Jandal. So the city called Dawmatul Jandal, right? There's a city here. And this Muslim army was sent months ago to basically enter this area, but it was stuck. It couldn't move forward. So Khalid radiallahu anhu says, fine, I can go there and I can assist the Muslims in this area. And so he comes forward from Iraq, he leaves Iraq, and he enters now the north of Arabia. And so what happened was the Muslims are besieging a city. Right? So the people of the city, they are unable to beat the Muslims, and the Muslims don't have the strength to enter the city. So it's a stalemate. You know, it's for months, it's just like this. No one is moving, no one is going forward or back. And so Khalid radiallahu anhu is coming now to break the siege. And just before he reaches the city, now the news arrives that, look, this guy Khalid has come. And again, his name is now widespread. Everyone has heard this general who has now defeated army after army. And so these Arab kings, the Christian, they get together and they think, should we just surrender or should we fight this man? One of them says, look, I have met him before in battle. And he's the luckiest of all the Arabs. For them, of course, they believe all this is luck. These victories are luck. There's no such concept that he's got the assistance of Allah. And if you, and some of them said, if you want to fight them, we're not going to fight this guy because we can't beat him. He's unbeatable. He has some luck around him that whatever he does, he's victorious. So I will surrender. And some of them left. But the rest stayed. And so Khalid radiallahu anhu, he comes in and he basically, with these veterans now, it's very easy for them. They know the deal. They know how to do it. And they conquer, basically, they liberate, they defeat the defenders of the city, and they conquer Dawmatul Jandal. As this is happening, as we said, there's a war happening on the Western Front. And things are not going so well for the Sahaba against the Romans. So they're fighting the Romans and the Persians the same. Khalid is victorious and he's winning battle after battle. But the armies in the West are struggling. And this is, we said, the most senior Sahaba are fighting in this area. The big names of the Sahaba are fighting in that area, and they are struggling. And soon he's going to get a message to leave the Eastern Front, to leave Persia, and move into Iraq. Move from Iraq to Syria. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, that there's so many little battles that occur at this time, he is stationed in, he's conquered now all of Iraq. Right, Khalid has conquered all of Iraq. And he receives news that the armies of the West are struggling. And the Emperor of Persia, the Emperor of Rome, Heracles, has put together a huge army. And Abu Ubaidah writes an emergency letter. So Abu Ubaidah, and again, this is a name that you must know. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah is one of the 10 promised Jannah. One of the first people to embrace Islam, Abu Ubaidah. Every single battle with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was there. Every single big event. The Hijrah, Abyssinia, the Hijrah to Medina, Badr, Uhud, every single. And I said, he's, if you want just one story to remind you of him, in the battle of Uhud, when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's armor, when his face was injured, there's an arrow on the one side, and on the other side, he was hit with a sword. So both sides, he has things in his cheek. Abu Ubaidah was the man that pulled it out with his teeth, and broke his teeth. He broke his front teeth. Right, this is Abu Ubaidah. Okay? And he, Abu Ubaidah, also is the man who, when they had to choose a Khalifa with Abu Bakr, it was Umar and Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaidah. And Abu Bakr says, choose one of these men. Choose Umar or Abu Ubaidah as your Khalifa. So you get to know who Abu Ubaidah is. He's a very senior man. So he's the overall chief of them, the commander in chief of the Muslims in the West. And he writes a letter to Abu Bakr, I can't handle this. I am not prepared for this battle. This kind of fighting, I don't have the expertise. So let Khalid leave Iraq and come here to Syria and help us. I hear how success, everyone hears now, he's winning, we're struggling here, and the Emperor of Rome himself is fighting against us. Just to end off and before Maghrib. So Khalid gets the letter, and the time is urgent. I need to get to Syria. There's two routes to Syria. One, taking, there's one road to go through the road into Syria. And to get to Syria by the road, but this is a very difficult road. There's a lot of fortresses along the way, many armies along the way. It's going to get long, it's going to be a lot of fighting. The other road, not really a road, is to go through the desert. And this one, this desert is a week long trip with no water. There's no wells or anything along the way. And so again, he speaks to his Sahaba, this army that has now been so successful. And he said, look, let's once again put our iman in Allah. We have won victory after victory. Let's take this route through the desert. A week without water. No army has done this before. No army has crossed the Syrian desert. In fact, I was reading up on some of the genocides of past, what emperors would do in that area. They would make you walk through the Syrian desert and you died. That desert was known for death. That whoever goes into that desert, you don't survive that because there's no water. So Khalid tells his commanders, look, let's take this. And by now there's this self-belief that we can conquer, we can do everything, anything. We need to get to help the Muslims on the western frontier. So the army agrees, we're going to go through the desert. And so this 18,000 men that had now basically put the Persians to their knees, crosses the Syrian desert. And as the water, within 2-3 days, obviously the water runs up, what are we going to do? They actually slaughtered their camels. And we know with inside the camel, the hump, there's not water inside, it's fat, but there's, their gut is full of the food they eat. So there's not water, it's like hay that is damp. And they obviously slaughtered the camels, and they took this hay and they would suck on that hay that was inside their camels' abdomens. This was their water. And so the army survives and they come out of the desert behind the Roman frontier, the front lines, like in the back. And so now he enters the scene, and what he did in Persia, he's going to do now on the Roman frontier, which will lay the steps to the conquest of Jerusalem and the conquest of Damascus. Now, we till today, these cities, Hira, Tisifan, we don't know of them. But Damascus, we know, is a very big city in the world. Today, it's one of the, in fact, it's, for history's sake, it's the oldest city on earth, is the city of Damascus. And since the Muslims have ruled it, how did it become a Muslim city? This Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anh conquers it, and we'll talk about that next week, insha'Allah. Jazakallah khair. Any questions? We're done for this evening, and we will continue next week. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.